22, and we are going to be reading out our belief statements. I won't use that. Our belief statements as well, a little bit later on. And we originally weren't going to be having a sermon; we're just going to be doing our belief statements. But I felt we needed to have a bit of a context to what it is that we are doing today. So, thanks for those people doing the kids' church. That's brilliant. And if we could put the PowerPoint on, Ruth, that would be absolutely brilliant. We're going to send out this PowerPoint. Those people listening on the podcast, I know a few people are missing today, but we're going to put this on the website, send it out by the I Know. And basically, I don't need to speak. If you can read that or you can take a photograph of it, that's it, basically. I want us to be a church that's guilty of GBH, not grievous bodily harm, but of grace, belief, and hope. As you know, a few weeks ago, we were talking about grace, and it's a show. Because of the PowerPoint, you can't quite see the pictures, but you better see them when they get sent out to you. And I was really excited about grace, how important grace is. If we're going to be a people who believe, we need to understand grace. And Paul says in Romans chapter 5, verse 2, this grace in which we now stand, and the important part of that is the word in. Because when I stand on something, I get knocked off it. When I stand on something, the circumstances, the storms, and the strong winds knock me off it. But when I'm in something, and God gave me this beautiful picture of a cathedral. And when you're standing inside a cathedral, and that one, if you can't quite see it, is Liverpool Cathedral. But if you've been to Liverpool Cathedral and you stand in the middle of there, it's so powerful. And you stand right in the middle and you're surrounded by these walls that have been there for centuries. You can't think there's no weather storm that could ever blow this down. And we're safe in this place. So not only is this grace of God mighty and strong enough for whatever circumstances you're in. There is nothing that you've done that could ever not be reached by the grace of God. The grace of God is powerful enough for you in your circumstance. However far away you think you've gone, it's never far enough for the grace of God can't reach you. So it's a mighty, mighty thing, but it's also a very beautiful thing. When you understand the grace of God, how beautiful is the grace of God? When God could condemn and judge and just get rid of you, God says, I choose to extend grace to you. I love you. The cascading love that Sue Williams talked about a little while ago. So this grace of God is not just mighty, it's not just beautiful, but when you stand in the cathedral, it's vast. There's enough room for everybody, your family, your friends, everybody else in you. You're never going to be outside trying to squeeze your way into the grace of God because there is enough room for you in there. For you and everybody else that you know in the whole of your life. The grace of God is powerful. And the grace of God says this, that you are worthy because of Jesus Christ. And you're worthy because God chooses and says so. God's resolve at Christ's expense. He resolves to love you. And what sometimes stands in the way of belief and believing that God will answer my prayers is because we don't think we're worthy enough for that to happen. And so we'll pray, but God's not really going to answer me because I did this or I did that or I said this or I said that or I'm like this or I'm like that. But when we step into the grace of God, we then understand that God says, you are worthy by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you think I can't move in your life, then you're saying to me that the blood of Jesus Christ is not enough to make you worthy enough for me to bless you. So we've got to understand the grace of God if we're going to be a people of belief. For some of us right now, listening to this or here right now, you need to not only understand that God loves you, but repent of the fact that you have said God can't move in your life because of how you are. God will move in your life because of how Jesus Christ is, his death and his resurrection. And God is going to move in my life. And I wouldn't like you to know everything that I've done and said and seen and because it's embarrassing. And I'm sure you could all put your hands up to that. Amen. But I stand in the cathedral-like grace of God that says, I will bless you. Grace says we are worthy to be received, to be heard, and to be blessed by God, and so we believe. Okay, and the second thing, I want to leap into hope, and this picture here is of the dam. Those who weren't here last week, we talked about John Piper's image of the Hoover Dam, And that hope is like this reservoir, this dam. And it's not like the wobbly hope of the world, where, well, I hope it works out okay for you. It's kind of like a negative. It's like doubt, really, isn't it? But what Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 5, he says, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven. So it can't be touched, it can't be marred, it can't be marked, it can't be destroyed. It's there in heaven. And the picture that we had, and I know Tom was thinking a little bit more about this, and maybe you'll talk about it at some point, but the image of this reservoir, this dam, that then when it gets released, when it gets tapped into, when it gets drawn on, empowers, gives enough power for towns and cities and counties and in China, 20 million people that we heard last week. So this hope is a source of power. It's not that maybe it will happen, it's that it will happen because God's got enough power up there for us. And unfortunately, sometimes if we don't have hope, if all we've experienced is disappointment, it stops us stepping into belief. Because the disappointments that we've had in the past means that we've lost a bit of hope. And so we struggle to step into belief. And God wants us to both understand that he's got enough hope for you still. And he wants us to repent. That disappointment that we're carrying in our lives sometimes is because we are wondering, is there that reservoir of hope? But the Bible tells us there is. So hope says it is possible. Not only are we worthy to receive it, but hope says it is possible to be blessed by God. Regardless of what's happened in our lives before and how we think things have worked out before, it is possible still to be blessed by God. The anchor-like hope of God, and so we believe. And this is why we're looking at our way of life, because our way of life is about empowering us again to step into these things and understanding of these things. It brings about hope when you pray, when we worship. This morning was fantastic. And just you felt you were stepping into hope again. You felt that you understood the grace of God was available again for you. So as we step into more and greater levels of worship and of prayer and of Bible study, and the Bible is quite clear that hope comes from reading the Word of God. It teaches us about endurance and encouragement from Scripture. So those two are important. And right in the middle of this sandwich of GBH, we've got belief. And so in Matthew chapter 21, verse 22, and I'm going to read out three verses, and I want us to just really think about them. If Jesus says, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Breathe that in. And straight away, we've got all the theologians thinking, whoa. Whatever you ask for in prayer. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Can you just imagine that for a moment? Whatever you ask for in prayer, you receive. And then we find in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, Jesus saying something else. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. There's no uncertainty in what Jesus is saying there, is there? There's no conditions on it at all. And it's not like he was necessarily speaking to people that weren't disappointed or didn't feel bad about themselves. But there's no uncertainty. And then we go to Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. And this is the third and last one I'm going to read out to you. And again, it's Jesus speaking. And he says, if two of you on earth agree about, listen to this word, anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. Our mission statement is to be a habitation of God's presence within the community. And I think that's so crucial, that habitation of God's presence. When you are living in the presence of God, when you are living that way of life, when you begin to pray in that way in line with the Spirit, then what you pray begins to become the thing that God wants in your life. Now, I want us to get really simple in this one. I don't want us to get all theological. I just want us to take what Jesus says. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Stop overthinking it. Let's just do it. Let's just begin to pray that way. And let's just see what happens. Because the enemy will come in with a little bit of doubt. Say, yeah, but what about this? Or what about that that happened in your life? Or what about this little thing that somebody said once before? And yeah, well, is that really true always? Let's just stop all that. And let's just look at these verses. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Prayer in the Spirit leads us to, and you can't quite see this, and it's a new picture, but it's a guy who's jumping from one side of a chasm to the other. And he says, prayer in the Spirit leads us to chasm-leaping belief. Now, we're about to go into a new sermon series, and the sermon series is exploring and going deeper and deeper in prayer. And what's going to happen is each person that's going to be sharing on a Sunday is going to be talking about a particular aspect of prayer. Because we say prayer, and we kind of, well, what's that mean? It could be 101 different things, and it is 101 different things and more. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be exploring different aspects of prayer each week with the intention that we will receive whatever we ask for. And we'll be looking at prayer walking, we'll be looking at prayer journey, we'll be looking at Lectio Divina, we'll be looking at praying in the Scriptures, we'll be looking at all sorts of things. We've got resources for you. And I've started my prayer book, and I'm hoping we might be able to get some journals for it. It is my prayer book. And what I've done is I've put in the front already my three verses from Matthew. And so I'm going to read that, and then I'm going to be, in a minute, you'll see my belief statements. So I'm going to be reading out ours. We receive what we ask for in the Spirit before we receive it in our hands. I don't know if any of you have done an Asda shop online, and you might have tapped in, I want some carrots, and I want some milk, and I want some this, that, and the other, and you pay for it, and you send it off, and you haven't got it in your house, but you believe you've received it, don't you? I've got that now, that's it, that's in the bag, and you forget all about it. You don't worry, well, sometimes you might worry, it depends on which delivery team, delivery group you're using. Okay, there's one or two dodgy ones, isn't there? But we ordered something the other week, Adrian ordered something, and lo and behold, at the time that they said they would come, they appeared, and they delivered the Asda shop, and then we had it in our house. And so as we pray, and we receive already in the spiritual realm what we will receive in the earthly realm. So it's not believe and then at some point in the future something will happen. It's like, yes, it's happened in the spiritual realm. When we're praying in line with the Spirit, when we are in that attitude of prayer, when we are a people of prayer, then we receive what we ask for in the Spirit before we receive it into our hands. And sometimes Asda turns up and they haven't quite got the carrots that you've asked for. They've maybe given you some wonky carrots or some rainbow carrots or something strange like that. And sometimes we pray for things and we don't always get exactly what we thought God was going to give us. But you know what? It's okay. It's fine. And often it's better. Sometimes, well, I never thought I'd get that. And that's all right. I'll order that again at some point. And so God says, pray in the Spirit and believe and you will receive what I've got for you. Now, the issue about this verse here, and I was listening to T.D. Jakes, talking about this, and he was brilliant. And he was saying that there are some people that this verse rules out straight away because they don't want anything. It's just like, but if you believe you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer, I don't want anything. I don't need anything. I'm okay. And sometimes they do that because they want to avoid disappointment. And sometimes they do that because they just think, oh, I'm all right, just leave me alone. And God wants to stir us up again to begin to desire things. Some people have become numb and dead to desiring things from God, to wanting things from God. And they've stopped asking him because they think, oh, do you know what? I'm okay. I've got a happy life and I'm all right. But God wants to stir up things within you because there are things in this world that we need to have a desire for. We need to stop so many things that are that are happening in our world, and we need to start so many things that need to start in our world. So if you've got everything that you need in your life, good for you, that's fine, but God still wants to stir up a desire in your heart to ask. God wants us to seek a passionate desire to receive again. And this is relevant for some people listening right now, because you've stopped asking, and you've stopped even asking God for you to receive anything, because you kind of think, well, I don't want to bother him. I don't know what it is, what the reason is, but we need to, and I can equate to this, I understand this. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and I'm a bit of a giver, but I find it so hard to ask for things. Is anybody else like that? Do you find it really hard to ask for stuff? You're quite happy, and sometimes, you know, as a parent, you're quite happy, you give. But to ask for help sometimes can be quite difficult, and God wants us to ask for help. He says, look, stir up a desire again to receive. Who are those five people you're praying for? Stir that up again within you. What do you want for the church? And we're going to go into this right now. So belief says we will be blessed by God. And so we believe even in the face of unbelief. So can we go to the next slide, Ruth, please? So I know that Chris has given Ruth some other things to say. These are my belief statements. Chopped off a bit, so I have to remember what they are, but that's fine. So what are the things that I believe? And these are things that I do believe, and I'm going to be praying these things through, because God is going to hone these down into real powerful prayers. But I believe that OCF will have a positive and powerful impact on the community of Ormskirk and beyond. We already do that, but that's going to increase. That's going to increase. Can you imagine that, having that powerful impact? Not just on our community, but on the world. And there are people out there that, I mean, Dave shared before about people that he's met on street pastors. We need that, don't we? We need that in Ormskirk, Edgehill College. We need it in the schools. We need that. I believe that people will come to know Jesus more through the witness of the people in OCF. And that there's going to be a baptism service at the end of the year. So we're going to book that in now. November, there will be a baptism service. And there will be people who have given their lives to Jesus Christ. And we'll be baptizing them. We're going to pray for that. Okay, amen. Maybe there'll be more than one. I've just got the belief for one at the moment, but perhaps there'll be more. People in OCF, I believe, will experience more of God's love and miracle in their lives. OCF will see an increase in answered prayer and physical healing. I went the other day about my finger, and praise God, the consultant surgeon said they couldn't do anything about it. And I say praise God because now God has to step in, doesn't he? Because I want to lead worship again. Amen. I want to play the guitar again. Amen. And do you know what I do? I kind of think, well, I could maybe try and play with three fingers. Or I could maybe take up the drums. But at the moment, God hasn't said that to me. Okay? So I'm going to believe that God is going to heal my finger. Amen. And it won't be all bent and unusable. But it's going to be something which can be used for the glory of God. God is going to see, we're going to see an increase in answered prayer and physical. Some of you have got physical healing needs. There's going to be people coming in that will be healed. The people of OCF, I believe, will step into new ministries and new gifts that Ruth was talking about last week, that we mentioned this morning, that will have an impact on the church and on God's kingdom. You are going to step into new ministries and new gifts. Little old you, little old me are going to step into something more. And it might be the prophetic, it might be administration, it might be leadership, it might be a job, a career. I don't know what it's going to be, because that's obviously between you and God. But you're going to step into new ministries and new giftings. I believe that we will see people set free from emotional and spiritual chains that have held them captive for years. Amen. Do it, Lord. Yeah. And God is going to do that. We believe and we receive. And do you know, as I was saying that, I heard two or three people saying, yeah, amen. They say, you know, where two or three agree, it's going to happen. That's going to happen. We will enter into new levels of worship that will lead us into a tangible experience of God. I tell you what, it's already good. And that's just with a guitar and a flute and a few people singing. I mean, that's just, can you imagine that when we get the civic hall and we don't have to wear the face coverings anymore and everything's happy and we get into there. I can't wait for that first blast of Andrew on his electric guitar, Dave on his bass, and we just go for it, and we're jumping up and down, and the flags are waving. Whoa. Yeah. And it's not all about the razzmatazz. It's all about getting into that presence of God where we say, yes, Lord Jesus, you're worth it. I believe that's going to happen this year. I believe that the people in OCF will experience new depths in prayer and intercession, individual and corporate. There will be new depths in prayer and intercession. You're going to go places that you've never been before in prayer. I believe that is going to happen. I'm going to go new places I've never been before. And I'm 50 years doing this stuff-ish. And I'm going to go new depths. I'm going to recapture some heights that I had and I've lost, and I'm going to capture new heights in prayer and intercession. Not so that I feel good, but because when that happens, things are going to happen. When that happens, things are going to happen. God's going to work with us. So can we do the next slide, and then we're going to go on to Chris's, the one that Chris has given to you, Ruth. So here's the question. Oh, there he is. That's him. Okay, he's leaping across. So what do you believe for OCF? What do you believe for yourself? What do you believe for your ministry? So right now, we're going to do a little bit of Fandango and get on Chris's things. So some of you will have already thought about this. Some of you will have got some belief statements. If you haven't yet, after I've spoken today, and as we've looked at the ones that I've done, these ones as well, what I'd like us to do is to begin to read these out, and you can go away and begin to write your own and hone your own and pray about your own belief statements. What's going to happen this year? Let's just say this year, maybe beyond. What's going to happen for you, for the church, for your ministry, whatever it is that God is leading you in? And as we get these belief statements, this is not just for this week, because we're moving into a sermon series on prayer. And so I think we need to use these as our prayer cries, if you like, to agree on, to believe, and to receive. And we can start now. So we're going to read some of these out, and we're going to go down, and we're going to read them out loud together. Is that okay? Right, so here we go. So, and it's always a bit of a mess, this, but we'll do our best anyway. Are you ready? I believe, together, you love me deeply, personally. I believe Father God has me held in the palm of his hand. I believe that God has a plan and purpose for my life. I believe that he is a good, good Father. I believe that through the transformational power of the Holy Spirit, I can overcome. I believe all his promises made to me will be fulfilled. I believe that God keeps his promises. I believe that God hears and answers prayer. I believe that God is good. I believe that God is the Redeemer. I believe that God will restore. I believe that nothing is too difficult for him. I believe you will break through. I believe you are working. Amen. And the amen is so important. Amen, 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 amen. I believe the Lord's amazing grace is sufficient. I believe that the blood of Jesus is more powerful than the sin of man. Hallelujah. I believe that God can save lives and transform lives. Amen. I believe that God will continue the God work he has started in my family's life. Amen. I believe my 5+ will be saved. This year, let's do it. I believe that as a Christian community, we are having a positive impact on Ormskirk as a whole. Amen. Now, this might be a struggle. I believe that the more we profess our faith, I assume, the more people will... Thank you. Amen. I believe that as we live our lives... Amen. I believe that OCF is going to grow and... Whoa! I believe our OCF youth will be a voice...
of blessing and encouragement
Amen. I believe that God will provide us with
an amazing building for us to do His work.
Amen. Let's give that a round of applause. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you. Amen. Have you got any more, Ruth?
I think we can do your one, but let's do them all.
Let's do mine. Yep. Let's do mine. Let's do mine. And we'll read them out loud. Okay, because there is something powerful about two or three gathering. Oh, there's more than three here, actually, isn't there? There's more than three in this room. Wow, God must really be listening. I believe that OCF will have a positive and powerful impact on the Kirk and beyond this year. I believe that people will come to know Jesus more through the witness, the people of OCF, and we will have a baptism service at the end of the year. Amen. I believe that the people in OCF will experience more of God's love and blessing in their lives. I believe OCF will see an increase in answered prayer and physical healing. I think it meant miracle in the one. Amen. Hallelujah. Thanks very much. How powerful is that? Now, what I'd like us to do, is there anybody that would like to shout one out that you've that's not up there that you didn't get a chance to? If you haven't, don't worry about it. It's fine. That's fine. That's okay. So what I'd like us to do is, if anybody else, and there will be others, who have got some belief statements, you've seen so many examples there, I'd like you to email Chris your belief statement, and you can keep emailing her. She won't mind. And what we're going to do is gather together all of our belief statements, and we're going to pray them through. So next week, Andrew is starting our sermon series on prayer, introducing that to us, which is fantastic. And then what we're going to do is incorporate our belief